Yeah, my name's Mickey and I'm an addict. Okay. I just picked up the cup of tea and I was like that, shaking it. And I don't want anyone to see that I'm shaking, so I just put it quickly back down. And I still don't really like to let people see what's going on. And it may be obvious to you, but you know, that might not prevent me from still trying to make it different. Difference is that a few years ago I didn't have the ability to communicate whatsoever, and I lived a life with very little communication. My recovery sort of started here, very very local to here in Charing Cross Police Station. You know, I didn't get clean that day, but that's where it started. And you know, I went out. It was the beginning of 2004. I went out for ways and means of getting more. I got arrested at the Royal Opera House that's not too far from me. I took someone's possessions and I thought I'd got away with that offence, and I walked out the side exit and it was on me and I just panicked. You know, when I saw, I knew what was happening, and I was like, I was really like, I just panicked and I went a bit mad really. And you know, I remember was thinking, just don't go down. And they was just on me and they was hitting me with their asp. And I was thinking, you know what, just, and I was trying to walk and I had them all on me. And I was in the middle of, in the middle of the Covent Garden and I wasn't going anywhere. But, I didn't think that. The last thing that I thought was that they was going to take me. That was not what was going to happen. I was not going to let them take me. And in the end, they crashed me onto the ground. And I remember, my face was in the, it was wet, it was damp, I was wet, they were sitting on me. And I just felt my world had fell apart, again. And, I wasn't thinking, oh, my children, I wasn't thinking, oh, my partner, I wasn't thinking, oh, my dear. So, I was thinking, oh, my God, I ain't going to have no gear for a couple of days. And, because I knew exactly what was going to happen, I knew exactly where I was going. And I knew exactly what route I was getting there. And, it wasn't the first time. that was how my life was towards... Well, that was how my life was. My using was quite sort of... it was sort of straightforward. I was walking down a... I come from an estate where there's lots of stairs and people hang about on stairs and that sort of stuff. Well, they did. I don't know about now, but... And, I walked down these stairs, I was about 12 years old, and I bumped into some people, and they was using, and I didn't have no idea to use before I got there. And when I got there and I saw this, I said, this ain't a good idea, and I was like, I ain't going to do this, don't do this. My brother was there, I'm going to tell Dad this, da-da-da, and then I done it. And what happened... the people I used on their stairs with that day live quite, normal lives today. And but what happened, my using started, what happened, I'd unleashed this illness. And from then, from that day, it was about ways and means of getting more. And I lived to use and I used to live and I couldn't live without using. And I couldn't cope and I couldn't deal with life. And I was thinking, I couldn't, when I come into recovery, I couldn't even sign on. I couldn't even sign on. I thought that signing on was hard work. I was just thinking, I ain't going to go and do that. That's really hard work. And that's the reality of it. Is that my experience is that without this program in my life, my experience is that I can't cope. Because from that day when I picked up was when I was 12 until that day when I, put down a few years ago at 38, I'd never had days clean. And and I didn't have a clue what was wrong with me. And, I had horrific consequences. I had consequences. Mine was, my children got took, my house went, my partner ended up on the gear, sleeping in on someone's settee, I was back in jail. And what I used to do, I used to work so hard on changing my consequences. What I used to do was solely about, if I can change the consequences, I thought, well, I won't go grafting on a Monday because Mondays ain't good days. And I thought, well, if I go graft more on a Thursday or a Friday, I won't have to go graft on a Monday. And I used to end up getting took on Thursdays and Fridays or Mondays and Tuesdays. I just used to get took. And I couldn't work that out. I just couldn't work out that, and that every time, you know, and it's not about, you know, where my using took me. My using brought me here. And you know, it's not about what I use, not about how much I use. And the difference is which, you know, was quite easy for me to look at. But so what I kept trying to do was change my consequences. And the best, you know, when I come into this fellowship, I didn't have any tools at all. And you know, when they come to on me about my children, they come on me, social service come on me about my children, and I was like, you know, what a liberty, how can you come to my door? You know, you've got this all wrong. And what I'd done, I tried to bargain with them. You know, all I had was my mouth, really. And anyway, they ended up taking my children. They ended up taking my children one Easter, and they come in my house, it got really heated, it got really angry, I got really aggressive, I couldn't deal with it, they come to take my children. What happened initially as well, when they first come there, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, they started banging on the door, and there was all lights flashing in the street, and I run out the back door, and you know, and I was off and I was gone and I thought, God, I've got away. And then their mum rang me and said, they haven't come for you, they've come for the kids. And I breathed a sigh of relief. And I breathed a sigh of relief that they were, you know, my using, it wasn't going to come between me and my using. And, you know, that's quite sad, but that's the reality of the illness that I suffer with. And, you know, so I ended up going into treatment from jail on a swerve. And all I'd done was look for differences in this treatment facility, I end up completing treatment, and I come back to London, and I was going in the rooms, and I was talking all this talk, and I was saying, you know, I work a great program, you know, I heard people talking all this stuff. I'd picked up the word powerless; it was my favourite word. You know, I was powerless over everything. Anything anyone asked me, I went, I'm powerless. You know, I'm powerless, powerless, powerless. I say it quite often. When I was in treatment, they was on me, and I was on a swerve, and I needed to box clever, and so I learnt the word powerless, and it sort of worked. And you know, one day I bumped into a counsellor, and I used to wait for you, and I used to come up the stairs, and he said to me, "You haven't had a shave today," and it was quite a militant like place, and he said to me, "You haven't had a shave today," and I looked at him and I said, "Well, because I'm powerless, isn't it?" And he looked at me like I was a lunatic, and I thought, he must be just having a bad day. And I walked away and I shook my head because I couldn't comprehend why he sort of reacted that way. And you know, and I come into these rooms and I'd done the exact same thing all I'd done all my life, and you know, I pretended, and you know, I didn't want to change, you know, I was scared of change, you know, and you know, I come in here and I was banging out, you know, I come back to London, everyone was saying powerless, I thought, car fit in here, and I was off again, I'm powerless, powerless, powerless. I used to listen to the chair and then go outside, you know, I used to think, you know, hurry up, so I want to have a fag here. And then I used to listen to the chair, share back to him and go outside, because nobody was more important in that meeting than me. And today it's quite, you know, I still believe I'm quite important in the meetings, but because my recovery depends on it is the difference today. And So I picked up this word powerless, and then I'd heard everyone talking about sponsors. I thought, well, I've got a sponsor. So I thought, well, I better get one. And so I got some, I picked someone, and, you know, so then I was in the meetings going, well, I'm powerless, and I spoke to my sponsor, and then I heard someone else say, I work this program to the best of my ability. So I went, you know, I was in meetings sitting back all reclined, you know, I'm powerless, I spoke to my sponsor, and I work this program to the best of my ability. And I forgot to mention that I hadn't picked a pen up. And then I was in a meeting, and a person comes to do the chair, and he was sharing. I was thinking, you know, hurry up, I want to go outside, that sort of thing. And he said, I'm not powerless. And I thought, well, what are you doing here then if you're not powerless? You know, you're in the wrong place. And he said to me, because I'm empowered with a 12-step program in Narcotics Anonymous. And he said, and he also said, and if you're outside having a fag, you're not in the meeting. And if you're outside without the power, you've got less power, and you're going to pick up. And so what he said, so I ended up asking this person to sponsor me. You know, to let go of the other sponsor I'd manipulated, who I'd been dishonest with, and it was really, really difficult because you know I don't like doing anything really. Anything that you know I have to apply myself to, I can find extremely difficult. And you know, and I asked him to sponsor me, and he said yeah. And then, you know, today, you know, I'm a fully conceded addict, and I know exactly what's wrong with me. And you know, I'm a very active member of this fellowship. Ultimately. Because you know I absolutely depend on it to prevent me from using, and so I started doing the work with him, and you know when he explained to me that you know when I picked up what I'd done, I you know this illness found, got you know it triggered, and then what happened then, the progression of the illness you know eventually took over, and what it done in taking over me, it removed everything from me. It removed any part of spirituality, any part of morals, any part of anything that I had as a child. You know, I wasn't, you know, a bad child, you know, and any goodness that I had, you know, went. And but what he said to me that, you know, what you're powerless over is that you can't not pick up. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the second one. You can't not pick up the first one. And that just made so much sense to me that I could not pick up on my own. That there was no way that I was not going to use on my own. So then I knew, you know, I'd been doing lots of meetings and then I knew what was wrong with me. And I knew that I had to, you know, a progressive illness that needs to be met with a progressive recovery. So he explained that to me. I knew absolutely nothing when I come here, and Ian explained all this stuff to me. And you know, I go to meetings and I do service, and you know, ultimately it's everything to do with not using for me today. Absolutely everything I do is about not using. And you know, when I'd done my step four, you know, I'd heard all this fear-based stuff about step four, and you know. You know, but the reality was that I turned, you know, my will and my life over to the care of God that was going to take care of me. So, you know, why would I be full of fear in step four? And I had to keep applying that. But, you know, I was doing this. When I started on a resentment list, I couldn't wait to start doing my resentment list because I really resented someone in the fellowship, a girl. I really, really resented her. And I thought, you know what? When I get on my step four, you're going to be top of the list. And then I thought, I really hate you so much. When I get on step four, you're going to be on the bottom of the list. And then I thought about it for a little while longer, and I thought, you know what? I resent you so much, you ain't going on the list. And you know, that's what I do. That's my thinking. And what I do with that obsessive thinking is I exclude any spirituality that I've got. This spiritual program that I try and practice, I exclude it. And when I exclude it, I'm riddled with this disease that I suffer with. And you know, when I read out my step four, and you know, when I'd done my six and seven, you know, the reality of me, I only speak for me, I speak about myself, is that, you know, I'm really jealous, I'm really possessive, I'm intolerant, I'm impatient, I'm more than, I'm less than. You know, things like people say to me, oh, you know what, I'm going on holiday tomorrow. I think, well, I'm not going on holiday tomorrow. It's just, you know, it's my first fault a lot of the time. And people say to me, I'm doing this, I'm going and I'm doing this. And I think, well, you know, what about me? You know, and that's the reality of me. That is me. That's the truth. And what I need to do, I need to replace that. And I've got this program that I can very quickly, sometimes quickly, it's not always quickly. Sometimes, you know, I don't like to let go of it. But sometimes, you know, I can apply this very quickly. And, you know, it's quite as simple. You know, intolerance, tolerance. Impatience, patience. Hate, love. And you know, and it's had a dramatic effect on my life, you know. So you know, I made a list of people I'd armed, and it was a long list. You know, it was a very, very long list. And you know, and I made amends to you know, my dad and you know, my brother, you know, and I sort of tucked my brother up a couple of times in my using, and, well, I didn't tuck him up, I just robbed him blatantly, to tell you the truth. Just a bit of minimising there. So the illness wanted to say hello. So what I've done, so all of a sudden I've made this, I've listed, you know, I'm going to make amends with my sponsor, and he said to me, well, you know what, you need to give him some money back. You know, not now, you know, it's quite a bit of money, and you know, you need to sort of give him that back, and you know, all of a sudden he's self-employed, and he's a black cab driver, and the other week he sort of hadn't paid his tax and he was running himself into the ground, and he rung me up and he said, have you got any money? And when he said, have you got any money, my heart dropped. Because that's, like I said, that's my first thought. My heart dropped and I thought, no, I don't want to part with anything. And what I'd done, I ended up lending him. I lent him, you know, well, I initially lent him this money. I lent him half of my mum's wages. And then when I spoke to my sponsor, I thought, I'm going to go and make this amends with him. And when I'm, you know, went to make the amends with him, I went, you know, this, that bit of money. And he said to me, well, I don't want your money. And then I was, what this program's, I was end up arguing with him to have half my wages. And that is the difference, what this program's done. The reality is, I know I'm going to be okay. And, you know, and I take daily infantry, and sometimes I don't want to do that either. Sometimes I don't want to see, you know, sometimes I don't want to let go of how I'm feeling. Sometimes, you know, I'm resentful, I'm angry, I'm intolerant, I'm, you know, all that stuff. I don't want to let it go. But, you know, I do it every night. And I know I need to have to practice this program. I try through prayer and meditation. You know, a lot of the times I have unconscious contact because I fall asleep. If I try and meditate, I'm, you know, and I think I've done really well as it goes when I do that stuff. But, you know, I do try and carry this message. I'm very active in this fellowship. You know, I sponsor people. I work with my sponsor. I don't ask anybody to do anything that I haven't done, and my sponsor doesn't ask me to do anything that he hasn't done. My life has only ever got better from the day I come here, but I didn't think it was getting better. You know, I was in so much pain initially, I thought, you know, I couldn't understand how it was getting better because it didn't feel like it was getting better, but, you know, I know it's getting better today. And if there's anybody here who's new, you know, well done. You know, well done for being here, and you are welcome. This is really a great meeting. This is really a well put together. I was going to say a well meeting, but I mean the committee on this meeting had put this meeting together quite well. And you know, I'm really grateful to be here, and I'm really grateful to be clean. And you know, I need this power in my life because I can't stay clean without it. But quite simple. And you know, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.